Okay, we are here and we are live on Home Group having a little discussion as we go live. And you're watching us tonight right here on Victory Channel, also watching us on Facebook. However you're watching, we're so glad you're with us. Home Group is basically a Bible study. And it's you're being invited. We take your questions and comments. Matter of fact, I have the iPad right here. So we're going to take your questions, comments. I'm going to pick up my papers I just dropped. But I want to thank you for being with us. Tonight, we're discussing, you ready for this, guys? Highly sensitive people. So stay tuned. Let me welcome the panel tonight. My wife, Michelle, is back with us. We've been off a couple of weeks, but we're back. And Annette Taylor is with us. Dwayne Munoz is here as well, and Dale Mock.
Hey, guys.
So I want to welcome all of you guys, and thank you for being with us. Listen, if you have questions or comments, please text them to 682-302-1301, 682-302-1301, or you can email them at askhomegroup@govictory.com. If you're on Facebook at the Victory Channel, just type it in right there. I do want to make you aware of something. We do have trained prayer ministers ready and willing and standing by right now here in the United States. It's toll-free number 877-281-6297. So at any time during the program, you can call them. You can say, I'm not hypersensitive, but I'm offended by this topic. Oh. You can call them. No, I'm joking. All right, whether you like it or not, you'll eventually have to deal with hypersensitive people. So are you one? Do you know someone in your personal, professional life who's been hypersensitive or highly sensitive? See, this is one of the subjects you ask us about. High sensitivity can be defined as an acute physical, mental, or emotional response to external or internal stimulus. We're going to discuss that more tonight. Matter of fact, I have a list of things from psychiatrists here that tells you you might be one of these people. Your emotions are extreme, okay? You're more self-aware than other people around you. You're detail-oriented. That's not a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
You overwork yourself. You're easily overwhelmed.
Hmm.
You react more quickly to certain situations, to stimulus, than other people. Here's the big one. You attack the person rather than the issue they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So if I said something about your shoes,
right,
you hear it as me attacking you, so you attack me back. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about
your shoes.
Something else, right? And you have a tendency to overanalyze everything that comes around you.
So a
hypersensitive person is more likely to feel judged in situations. No one's judging you, but you feel judged.
Mm-hmm.
Hypersensitivity shuts off conversation.
Isolation.
You stop listening and you jump to conclusions. These are all things I took off of out of Psychology magazine here. You got to learn to recognize this in your own life and then get clarification. Instead of thinking, okay, they're judging me and I'm going to shut off the conversation. No, say, Dwayne, this is what I heard you say. Help me understand what you just said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way you kind of overcome that in the natural. Now we're going to talk about it in the spirit of faith and in scripture about one of your subjects. And I want to hear your comments and questions. We're going to jump in right here. We've got Kenneth Copeland going to weigh in on this tonight. And so it's going to be really good. We're glad that you're with us. Guys, have you run into people like that? And why is everybody pointing to me? I'm not hypersensitive. Why are you guys saying I'm hypersensitive?
So, Greg, when I was studying that out today, it said that it's about 20% of the population is hypersensitive. You're definitely...
We see that right now, don't we?
Yeah. Well, it's like everything on the news. That's a huge... percentage, 20%.
Yeah.
So we're going to run into, and I'm hypersensitive in certain areas, and we probably all are.
That's
so there's
true.
Triggers. There's triggers in each one of us that says, okay, maybe I've been divorced or picked on or raped or so. There's always sore spots. There's sore spots in people.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, many times when that happens, and because I've counseled for years and years here, and when you get that, one of the things that you give an example, and they say, "Did you mean that for me?" Did
oh, they took it personally.
Yeah,
yeah. Did you?
Were you directing?
Did you say
it to
that? You know, trying to set me straight. And I no more had them in mind than a cow. So
right.
But
but that's the way they're wired, right?
Yeah.
That's the way they're wired.
So. I've had this happen as a pastor. You probably have too.
Yeah.
You give a sermon and you're not aiming it at anybody.
No.
You're just giving the word of God, and some guy comes up and goes, "Brother, you were talking to me today," and I'm thinking,
right.
"Really?"
Yeah.
Or they saw it as a something that you were ministry that had to have been the Holy Spirit. Or you get the other side where they get the really bad email telling you, you know, why were you picking on me and why are you doing this to me? No, it wasn't that at all. So, you know, you have to deal knowing that your congregation, whoever's in there, that you, you know, you kind of have to kind of watch your words, but then you don't want to take away from the word.
Right.
No.
So we don't want anybody on the broadcast to assume that we're saying that this group of people is a rotten group of people, correct?
No.
Right.
No.
Okay. So let's make that clear. So as I was reading today, they said that, you know, I'm probably super sensitive in some areas, and then I'm probably, I don't know, there's a small percentage of me that might be super sensitive. So, but they were saying if you have a super sensitive person in your company, this is the jobs that you want to assign to them.
Okay, like what?
Like they like to work alone, and they like to, they really like to drill down and theorize or think the problem and the issue out. And they're very dedicated, you know, so God made everybody a certain way, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And they fit in a certain place. So if you can recognize these people, well, there's 80% of other different types of people that's broken up, right? Mm-hmm. So there's all these different personality types. So if you can learn to say, this person is this way, and this person is this way, and this person is this way, you can put them into those tasks that they'll flourish in. And then you know how to minister to those people that are in that have that mindset, because they're not. We wouldn't want anybody to think that we're saying that these are rotten people.
No.
So sensitive people are sensitive people.
Right, and we're here to help assure them.
Correct.
That they are accepted by God.
Yes.
And we accept them. We're not. You know, we're not trying to bash you, but sometimes you have to look at an issue in your life and own up to it. Am I oversensitive about whatever?
A certain area.
Mm-hmm. And I need healing. You have to look at it and own it.
Yeah.
Because until you can own where you are, you can't get free from it.
That's right.
You have to own it.
And some people don't want to own it.
No.
They like it.
Well, if it gets you a lot of attention.
Yeah, that's true.
And sometimes people, maybe that's all the attention they get is the negative attention. So,
When you think about this topic, when you think about it, is it because they're trying to, there's an acceptance that they have not received?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you said something a moment ago, we need to show them Jesus. They're accepted by God.
Yeah, yes.
But it seems like when I've talked to people in the past, you know, just congregants that when I pastored, there was always some kind of a breakdown in their growing up or something.
Yeah.
They had an absent father, an absent mother, or somebody they were close to who passed away or something. But it seemed like something, maybe they were assured, or maybe they didn't get that acceptance or that good job. Mm-hmm. And it's something that's really sensitive to them. And I find myself as a pastor coming up to that many, many times and having to say, listen, we're in a family.
Right.
God loves you. He accepted you. He loves you so much. He wants to help you out of this. But it seems like we kind of tend to want to find that human connection that, you know, I'm sensitive. I want you to
affirm.
There you go. Affirm that. So, and that's where I come across that a lot. Mm-hmm. But it seems like as a church body, should we be, you know, I think we should be directing their identity, who they are.
Correct. Right.
To Jesus.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's where I think a lot of this comes from. There's an identity crisis.
Correct.
In an area. And I'll own up to that as well. I mean, there's areas that I have noticed sensitivity, or if I react a certain way and I wasn't expecting that reaction, but it came up, then I realized this is something in me that I need to work on.
Yeah.
Or the Lord has revealed to me that I need his assistance in.
So you owned it.
So I owned it.
Yeah.
You recognized it.
But it doesn't always mean I own it and get over it in the moment. But I think there's a growth there that has to happen.
So when you own it, what do you do? I know what I do.
I don't know what I do.
What I do is I say, Lord, shine your light in me on this.
Yeah.
And there's a theological term for that. It's called theophosty, that let the light of God
manifest.
shine in these areas so that I can see what I'm dealing with and remove in me, create in me a clean heart, David, David said.
Yeah, there's a deep belief that's seeded into my heart.
Yes.
When I react, let's just talk about Dale being oversensitive, right? Because we don't want to talk to you about you guys. You guys know your issues. I'm assuming you do, right? So when I fly off the handle or get angry or things like that, you stay conscious of your actions, or you stay conscious of the great thing about your mouth is it tells you what's in you.
Reveals it.
So definitely. I notice with me when I say this, thus, and so, or fly off the handle for that, that, and that, and if I'm consciously aware, I go, hey, Dale's got a problem here, right? Because it came out of my heart level belief, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I go to the Lord, like Greg said, and say, Father, show me my true belief that causes me to respond in this manner. So, and he'll, you know, that's the owning it that you're talking about.
But the maturity part of being a Christian and not just being saved, but growing in God. Yeah. And as we grow in God, then he starts unraveling certain things layer by layer. I'm so grateful to God that he does not do it all at one time.
Oh boy, we would be raw, wouldn't we?
But he understands you. He understands how we're wired. He says, okay, this is what she can handle at this point.
Right.
And it's a gradual process. As long as I'm willing to give it away. And that's the part where I think when it gets revealed, then I know I've got to give this away.
Well, you know, that's good and all, but I'm Irish.
Well, I'm Italian, so.
You know, I mean, but people do that.
Right.
Right, but
so they identified their self.
Yes.
Where I have to change my identity and say, I used to be from Adam.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now I'm out of the lineage of Jesus Christ, and I've noticed there's some Adam tendencies about me. I must still believe I'm associated with Adam. Yeah. So Lord, Adam believed and Eve believed they got to meet their own needs. And that's probably would be a root issue for me. Why am I so mad? Because I got to meet my needs. I got to meet my needs. You're not meeting them. God ain't meeting them. There's only one God, and his name's Dale. And he's got to meet his own needs, and we're going to have a fight because I'm Irish and I got to take care of myself. Right? So there's going to be a trigger point for me. So when I get angry, I go, Lord, what am I believing?
That's absolutely, actually gets kind of ungodly, doesn't it? Let's do this right now. And we want more of your questions and comments. They are coming in, and thank you for doing that. Listen, you can pick out anything and be offended by it. You really can. And we live in a society right now that they seem to be offended by anything.
Well, they're looking for it.
I mean, it's like everyone's looking for it. But it's ungodly, and it has consequences. Brother Copeland's going to tell you something right now, that offense will suck the Word of God right out of you. Watch this. We'll be back.
Well, that's the truth.
I'm Native American. Oh, I can be offended. After all, I'm Irish. Oh, yeah, I could be offended. Oh, praise God. Amen. You could pick out anything and be offended over it. But I'm going to tell you something. It is ungodly. It has extreme consequences. It will... And this is a word I didn't come up with myself. It will bleach all the word out of you.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Like a strong bleach just remove the color from a cloth.
Right.
Offense will just suck the word of God out of you.
That's true.
And it'll do it when you need it the most.
And whatever we do, we can't have the word of God sucked out of us. We can't be party to it. Amen. Because his word is truth and it's in me, and I refuse that. So listen, if you have questions or comments, and we've got some doozies. We got some doozies, guys. And that's great. We love that. Please text them to 682-302-1301. 682-302-1301. Email them at askhomegroup@govictory.com. If you're on Facebook, I have the iPad right here, and the call screeners are looking at them. And we've got them. So here we go. Ruth, here's yours. Do you think God can use that condition in a positive way as he did in me?
Anybody?
A condition of being, I guess, hypersensitive to things. He used it in a positive way.
He can.
He makes all things work together.
Yeah, he does. He makes all, and that's an absolute truth that he's inside you.
Yeah.
And he's in you to what? To help you and to help me in every situation. So, yes, he can take whatever your hang-ups are, and he can help you with them.
And then when you get help,
go help somebody.
Yes. Yeah. That's where it's benefited me when I've learned about Dale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It helped me help others.
You know what helps me with Dale?
Tell me.
I know your wife.
You know my wife. Yeah. She is wonderful, right?
I know, and she helps me with Dale because I see how you guys just
flow together.
I saw her today and spoke to her for a while. But see, it's the other side of the way you guys work.
Yeah.
And it's just wonderful.
She's a blessing to me. That's
to watch this. Here's the deal. Can you be hypersensitive and still have an enjoyable conversation? Well, yeah. Sure. Realize that everything's not about you and it's not aimed at you.
Mm-hmm.
I think
that
is the thing.
That is necessary. To realize it's not aimed at you, so.
And don't attack the person. Make sure you're hearing what they're actually saying.
Well, that's the key right there. If you're going to have a conversation, we have to listen. If we're not listening to one another, if we're not really intently invested,
correct,
then that's where it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
And then you become more sensitive.
Yeah. I enjoy hypersensitive people. Why? Because I want to know how they think. So I'm actually able to sit down with them and say, tell me why you think And then they can explain it to me and I'm go, oh, I learned something about that from a whole different
angle. So how do you realize it's you? I mean, if you're how do I know it's me?
How do you know that you're hypersensitive?
Okay, I'm going to give you an example.
All right.
In my life, we were pastoring in California. I'd brought in a group of consultants and people I trusted and people that had a vice president name and their name at a very large ministry came in, and they're all sitting around. We'd spent 2 or 3 days going over what our vision was and what we're doing as a church, and we're sitting in there and staff's in there. This guy points his finger at me, Duane. And because we're trying to fix the church to go to the next level, you know, we're trying to you know what I mean? We're doing a strategic weekend thing.
Right.
And he points his finger at me. He goes, Pastor Greg, you're the problem. And I remember thinking, boy, you'd never sat through Keith Moore's submission and authority class. You know, who are you? I brought you in here to tell me that I'm the problem. And so I had one of those moments.
Yeah.
That was a sensitive moment for you.
Well, yeah, it's in front of everybody.
Right. Yeah.
And this is the conclusion we came up with,
right,
that I'm the problem. I'm the pastor.
So how'd you deal with that, Greg?
You know how I dealt with it?
No.
I do what I always do. Lord, is there any truth in that?
Right.
Reveal it to me.
Yeah.
And show me. I open my heart up. I'm willing for it to be me. And it was partially correct.
But he also has pointed out that you were the solution.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot that.
That's what I mean. You don't really hear what they're saying.
After the problem is you, I never heard
you get smacked.
The rest of the statement. Right. Now, what was the rest of the statement he said?
You were also the solution.
He said, you're the problem.
And the solution.
But I didn't hear, you're the solution.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. See, what I did and what it did is it cut.
It just shut right. you down.
I shut down everything that he said. And so I'm not now receiving because I'm mad at him, actually.
Yeah. Right. You're offended.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
But he was right. And then I did change some things. We did institute some stuff. And he was right. I became part of the solution.
Yeah.
In that.
Well, when I think about what the scripture says, you know, that God, what does he do with those he loves?
Corrects.
He corrects.
And guides.
And guides.
And comforts. Yeah. And
yeah. But the first thing we know that he corrects.
Yeah.
And sometimes that correction is, it's always here. It's never
a little
him.
Painful. Yeah.
It's here. Yeah. And so when we have to kind of look, you have to be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And I like what you said. I had to go back and think, is there any truth in this, God?
Yeah.
And if so, you are being honest with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if reveal it to me, show it to me. And then when you did that, you analyzed that behavior.
Right.
Then you have a lovely wife that can help us to analyze our behaviors. I have a wife that can help me. Listen, Dwayne, you really did it this way.
You know what? It's right? kind of right. It's kind of right there.
Yeah.
But then, I get an amen at the moment. I just want to point that out.
But then we have something that's in our power to do.
Correct.
We can take action.
Yes.
Yeah. So how do I take action, Pastor?
Well, what we've been talking about, listening. Being honest, first of all, and then when we get the direction from God and what we need to do, be honest with ourselves. Do it. Sometimes we just want to hear the good things, and then we don't want to put to action the things that need to be done. We're going to pray it into an existence, but we need to do action. It requires our part to do something with it. So it's more than just saying, okay, we're going to take care of it. No, it's something I got to take care of.
Do you think that some of our hypersensitivity areas are things that, and we kind of touched on this, but I'm really seeing a pattern where it's something God will utilize. Take from the soulish realm or the flesh and then turn it into the spiritual realm, and he can utilize that in the spirit realm.
Yes, he can.
Not so much in your flesh,
right?
But now from a spiritual perspective, a different perspective, a heavenly perspective, that sensitivity can actually work out in some really cool areas.
That's interesting. You were used the word sensitivity, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, your soul realm is your sensory realm. So you can get overloaded in the sensory realm that it affects your heart realm and your belief realm, right? Mm-hmm. So that's when I notice myself acting out, right? It's usually from soul overload, too much information, too much wrong information. Well, me as a born-again Christian, hopefully we're talking to born-again Christians. And if we're not talking to born-again Christians, the answer for me, and I'll give you my antidote, is to run right to God and say, I am in sensory overload. You're above that. You see that. And you can tell me the truth about what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. And he's told me before, you need to turn a lot of stuff off and eliminate a lot of the overload. Mm-hmm. Get the overload out of your life. Yeah. Pay her back.
That's good.
Well, so that goes right to a verse. And Cynthia is watching us tonight. We miss you.
Love you, Cynthia. Love you, Cynthia.
We love, okay, everybody, big right here, this camera,
hi,
big
Cynthia.
Group
hey,
wave.
Cynthia,
we love you. We miss you.
Tell Joe, hey.
She sent in a verse for us.
Oh, good.
I'm going to read it to you. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 7 out of the Amplified. The wise also will hear and increase in learning.
Yes.
And the person of understanding will acquire skill and attain to sound course so that he may be able to steer his course rightly.
Yes.
The reverent and the worshipful fear the Lord is the beginning, principal, choice part of knowledge.
Yes.
Its starting point and its essence. But fools despise skillful and godly wisdom, instruction, and discipline. Mm-hmm. Good verse, Cynthia. Thank you for that. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, if you're not willing to look inside you and see why you're sensitive, you'll blame. You'll take on the blame game. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I've taken on the blame game, too. I'm thinking, I wouldn't have done that if you hadn't have done this.
Right.
Yeah.
So, not me. I was always too perfect, but it was always his fault.
It was always his fault.
Some of it was my fault because I was oversensitive.
Sure.
And but then you catch yourself blaming And so blaming's not a good thing either.
Right.
It's a trap that'll yes. trap
yes.
you.
Yes.
If you're always will, you know, if you weren't here, I wouldn't be doing this. Well, heck no.
Right.
But blame. Don't blame. Just acknowledge it and ask the Lord to help you like we've done, and he'll help you with that insensitivity. So you're going to run into that sometimes, but yeah. just don't go blaming, and then you can get free.
Okay, so here's isn't hypersensitivity a sign of pride that a Christian shouldn't want, and shouldn't that be addressed? It's a sign of pride.
Let's see, there's pride, and the opposite of it is shame. So pride is I'm right, you're wrong, you know. So I always do this exercise with the Lord. Lord, I'm wrong. He says, you're right. And then I say, Lord, you're right. And he says, you're right again. So I always have to admit that I'm wrong. And he always says I'm right. And then I say, you've made me right through Jesus Christ. Amen. And he says, you're right again. Mm-hmm. Here's
the
scripture
for knowing who you are.
Position of knowing who you are and knowing who he is.
And what Jesus has done.
And pride says, I'm not going to listen to the authority. If he says that I've been made right through Jesus Christ, yeah. I've been made right through Jesus Christ, but it doesn't give me the right to not do or what he's instructed me to do, like love others.
Yeah, Dwayne, jump in. You want to?
Well, I wanted to say something that I want to say this right. You know, you mentioned something a little bit ago, Michelle, where you said that, you know, people, there's hypersensitive people everywhere. Mm-hmm. And almost kind of they look for it, too.
They do.
They look for something to be able to attach to, and oh, I'm going to be sensitive. I'm angry about that. But something I learned from Brother Copeland is that certain things, newspaper for one, he don't read it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there was enough, he said, that was enough stuff in his daily life to be able to, why would he add additional things and see what's
yeah.
going on? He wasn't ignorant what was going on around the world.
Right.
But there were certain things that it seemed like to me that people kind of run to almost have an opportunity to be sensitive and offended about something.
Yeah.
And you said something a moment ago when I was thinking about that you know, this that we're more attended or we are more aware of that sensory realm.
Yes, sir.
And when I find myself, if I'm more attentive and that's magnified in me, and that's all that I'm sensing, and it's all I'm seeing, all the things that's going on, I find myself, and I have to be truthful to myself, I haven't spent really that time with God.
That's the truth right
because
there.
Because I've amplified the soul so much mm-hmm. and everything going on, and I'm sensitive to everything going on. And
that's good.
When I can just escape and say, okay God, I need some time just with you, and I get those times with him,
mm-hmm.
it seems like those other things I'm not so sensitive about anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bother me as much.
That is so good. During this whole lockdown thing, and we got to a point with the kids and Greg, and just it was so heavy in the house that I had to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I usually would when I was younger and I lived in Colorado was to just get to the mountains. If I could get to the mountains, it felt like I was just closer to God. So I said to the kids, we're taking a road trip. And we got in the car and I didn't watch the news and I didn't do anything, but it was just us and God and watching all the things that he created and how he created that mm-hmm. for us and just getting out of that. And I realized, I don't know what's happening and right. I am okay. You know,
I really believe if we could quarantine the news media for about 30 days, 80% yeah. of the problem would disappear.
Oh, right. My goodness.
Would disappear.
It just yeah. goes.
Because here's the deal. Every day we have opportunities to have yeah. hurt feelings
yeah.
and it can
yeah.
start with the littlest things. Yeah. Yeah. Kelly Copeland, Jerry Ann Savelle talk about it. We'll be right back. Watch this.
We wanted to talk today about offense. You hurt my feelings. That's what we're calling this show. Have you ever had your feelings hurt? Ever?
Oh, let me think. Yeah.
You know, I think you have opportunity almost every day.
Kind of hurt my feelings. My grandmother didn't want to get in the car with me.
Well, yeah.
So, because sometimes your hurt feelings lead to somebody else's hurt feelings.
Yeah.
And it can just be passed back and forth like a cold.
Mm-hmm. And it can start, you know, with the littlest things, the littlest things. In fact, I read the definition of offense last night, and I found this interesting. It says it's an annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult. Hmm. So sometimes we can be offended just on perception. You know I've hurt people's feelings and I didn't even mean to. Like, yeah. I said something in a tone or a way and I did not mean it at all that way. And they come to me later and be like, oh, you said, and I'm like, I didn't mean that. But it's some people's perception, you know?
Well, you know, I read somewhere where we really hear as much or more with what we think is in there than what somebody actually says. So if I think you're mad at me and you say something, I just heard.
You take it that way.
You hear what's in you.
Exactly.
As much or more than you hear what somebody's saying to you.
Wow. Now that guys, that's true right there. You hear with a tone. Yeah. And this is the thing about texting. if I know somebody and I perceive that person as angry or whatever, it's just an example. And they text me something, I'm like, oh, when I see that. Yeah, have you ever done that? A certain person's text come up and you're thinking, oh. And they don't, right. Because I'm trying to put whatever emotion is behind what I'm reading. And sometimes it doesn't line up.
Right.
Sometimes they're not mad at all. Or sometimes they are mad.
Right.
And I misread that. And so it's a communication situation. So, am I projecting that? Okay, a lot of your questions, I need to start getting to them, and I want to thank you for that. Ask Home Group at govictory.com. If you want to email it, text it to 682-302-1301. Facebook, it's right here in front of me coming in. Let's look here. I won't use your whole name. Begins with letter L. I have an alcoholic husband who is very verbally nasty and puts me down a lot. It is hard not to be overly sensitive at times. Mm. Any suggestion? We've been married 45 years.
Wow.
You've walked that.
I can walk that out.
How'd you handle it, Annette?
How did I handle it?
Yeah.
I used to get in the fight. I had a comeback.
Did you get sensitive? Were you oversensitive?
Well, you know, I didn't have time to be oversensitive. It was always so blunt. But what I finally realized was he's dealing out of his hurt.
That's right.
And when I can see what's in his heart, then that's when I could calm the situation. Mm-hmm. And what I would do in that, you have to find a way to do this, and it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
But I would just say to him, did you mean that to hurt me? Why did you tell me what you meant? What are you feeling when you say that? Because see, he knew I was going to be there for him, come hell or high water. Mm. I was going to be there for him, and he knew that. Mm-hmm. But it's
I'm guessing
like
45
they tried
years.
To, and, yeah. Well, I'm talking 50 years.
Well, yeah, this is 45. So
I'm talking, but you have to until you can come back with a positive solution for him, because see, anger just stirs up more anger. So I would always later, after I learned how to do this, I learned that a soft answer turns away wrath.
Okay.
And so when I would come back with a soft answer and I'd say, did you mean that to be that way? And then, and I wouldn't say anything. And then he'd say, you know good and well, I don't know why I did that. Mm. He really didn't seem to have a clue why he's being so mean. It's just mean. Mm-hmm. You have to find a way to come back. And if you can remember, if you need to just slip out of the situation, I've done this before, just go get in the car, go take a ride like you did. Then I can come back and give him a positive. I could give him what the word says.
Yeah.
But I couldn't just go to him and say, thus saith the Lord, you know.
Right.
The Bible says drunkards won't inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, I've been wanting to do that at times. But not that he was a drunkard. But
right.
But he liked to drink. But I learned how to diffuse it. And you have to learn how to diffuse it. And it the scripture says a soft answer turns away wrath.
Okay, so does that mean I'm just a rug,
doormat.
Like this rug, a
well,
doormat?
Well, you might feel like it sometimes.
That I'm getting walked on?
You may feel like it sometimes, but if you don't respond to that in a positive way, you could become a doormat.
And here's why I bring that up. Because one of the verses I use all the time in my life is in Jesus. Now, there's a spirit that stirs up strife amongst brethren.
Yeah.
And you can study Jezebel and Absalom and Leviathan and all the different spirits that stir things up. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. If I participate by telling my home group, then I have participated in the anti of. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And I always look at this. Peter writes this about Jesus. He says, who being reviled didn't open his mouth, reviled not. And I think you and I, we had the privilege of being with Brother Hagin. That's the thing I learned the most from him was the ability to just not respond.
Yeah.
Well, you know, too, you can break
away. And
that's
a strength. And,
yes,
and I'm
it
not,
is.
I'm, well, I'm not fully there, guys.
It is.
But
I'm
getting
telling
there.
You can go back, if you know the scripture, you can go back and look at Matthew 18.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I did that so many times. I would just walk away. I would go outside and I would address the spirit.
Okay.
The root.
Says, I would address that spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would say, you foul spirit. Mm-hmm. You have no right in this. You have no right in my husband. You have no right here.
So you're not attacking
so
him. You're attacking
I
the
wasn't
spirit.
Attacking That's... him. I was attacking that spirit. And I would tell it, you're unlawful in heaven. Therefore, you're unlawful in this household.
Oh, my.
You're unlawful to move in my husband. So
wow.
I command you to loose him and let him go. And I call the peace of God to come over him.
Yeah.
And I could go back in there and he would have changed.
Yeah.
It's spiritual, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It is spiritual. And if you'll use the scripture, you can get mad at the spirit, but you don't take it out on your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's being ugly, but he's driven by a spirit.
Yeah.
And anytime you get drinking involved, you know, they're about making me feel good. They're out to make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you will use the scripture like it's given to you to use, and you go bind that spirit and loose the spirit of God in him and command that thing to go, and you know.
And you're not saying they're possessed.
I'm not. No. He wasn't possessed, but he was working on it.
We love Annette. I'm telling you.
I just tell you like it is.
No, we love you. I'm
so grateful. Well, yeah, no. Dale loves me. I tell Dale to shut up.
I heard about that. That was last week, right?
I'm telling you, that is a humble man.
You know, think about it, Greg.
I love you.
I was thinking you might be able to remind us, you know, Brother Copeland said he had an issue with anger. You remember? And he heard his wife say to him when he was laying on the couch, I'm going to find some way to be a blessing
to
you. And it ministered to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
It broke that heart.
It broke it.
Yeah.
It broke it.
And so it really, it's the word, it's the love. She had so much love behind them.
Right.
That it ministered to him.
So see, that was Matthew 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we want to do tonight is we want to minister
And
to
you know,
people.
So many questions that you've written in were just answered by you right there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another one here about extreme emotional immaturity and sensitivity. Can it destroy a marriage? You just gave answers to everyone in those problems of how to deal with this.
Yes.
There's a scripture in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, New King James says, blessed are the peacemakers.
Yeah.
Now, peacemaker and a peacekeeper is two different things.
Right.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And really and truly, that's being like him, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you brought that up, Greg, that Matthew 5, because that's what the Lord was working with me on. So it says this in Matthew 5. You guys look it up at home, write it down. Jesus said, or it says, and Jesus seeing the multitude, So he's looking at a multitude, or we could say he was looking at his audience, or he was looking at his church, or he's looking at the people that he's going to minister to in Matthew 5. All right. And he went up into a mountain like Michelle did. He went up into a mountain. He left the multitude.
Yeah.
Right. He left the multitude, but he's looking at the multitude.
Yeah.
And his and his disciples, the ones that followed him, came to him. And he, and basically he opened his mouth, and this is what the Lord impressed me with. He says, Dale, you were, see yourselves as a disciple, standing with me at the mountain, looking at the multitude, and I'm going to tell you about the people that we're going to go down and minister to. So us as ministers and as Christians, we are, if we see a sensitive person, we should be sensitive enough to minister to them.
Right.
So he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. He says, down that hill right there, guys, are the poor in spirit. You're going to recognize them when you get down there. He says, but it is the kingdom of God for them, right? Blessed are those that mourn. He said, there's a truckload of people in that audience down there that are sensitive. They may be oversensitive. They're in mourning. Mm-hmm. We're going down there to minister to them. Mm-hmm. So for the next three chapters, he is doing discipleship one-on-one to empower his disciples to go down there, look for these people, and with the power of God, minister to them.
Yeah.
So read that, 5, 6, 7. And then it says they came down out of the mountain.
He was instructing them.
He said, we're going to build the kingdom of God here on earth. Yeah. We're going to, and this is our audience.
Yeah.
These people are hurting. They're sick. They're in need. But I'm empowering you disciples. I'm leaving you here to take care of these folks. Mm-hmm. So us as Christians, right? We need maybe be oversensitive with oversensitive people and minister to them, you know?
Well, Gloria Copeland talks about this in a clip I want to play you. She says, you don't have to let something or somebody else spoil your day.
Amen.
Let it go. Just let it go. You don't have to let anybody or anything spoil your day. Watch this from Gloria Copeland.
It's a wonderful thing to know. I don't have to bear that. I don't have to be upset and let something spoil my day because somebody did something ugly to me. Amen? Just let it roll right off of you and refuse to get in strife. See, that produces strife. And then where it says where there's strife, there's confusion and every evil work. Now, what does that tell you? That tells you that strife or being mad at somebody lets the devil in. That's where the evil works come from. So strife, which would be the opposite of love, which wouldn't forgive, which would be mad, is the open door to confusion and every evil work.
Well, that's really good. And I want to thank you for being part. You're watching your home group right here on Victory Channel. We got just a few minutes left, and Michelle's with me. Annette, Dwayne, and Dale are with us, and we're taking your questions and comments. You can text them, 682-302-1301. Email them at askhomegroup@govictory.com. If you're on Facebook, just type it in and they'll get it right directly to me. Been talking about hypersensitive people, strife, offense, getting over that. It's been a fabulous discussion so far. A lot of your questions have come in. Anne, this is your comment. Anne says, would the five love languages come into play with the whole oversensitive thing?
Find out which ministers to them the most.
Okay, so what are the five love languages?
Gift giving, Michelle, help me.
I don't know them all by heart.
There's quality time, gift giving. That's my wife, so I know those.
Acts of physical touch, physical touch.
Affirmation.
Being affirmed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Acts of service, praising people.
Did we name more than five just
then?
Yes. I think we came up with a few extras after a while.
But so knowing that about another person would, I guess, increase that, would help that.
Yeah, it sure would.
Yep.
It's communication.
That is
communication. It's just communication.
Yeah.
Finding a way to communicate with them.
Right. You know, you said a little bit ago, the texting. We're a texting. That's all we do now. Everything's quick. Just get the word out, but it doesn't have the feeling behind it.
Yeah, the human touch.
So we have to interpret it a different way, and that's what Greg said. When I get that text, I don't know if it's a good or a bad or an ugly.
You don't know where they are.
No more 5-page letters.
No.
I was wondering about that the other day, about how we used to communicate by
notes.
By letter.
Nope.
And handwritten sentiments and things of that nature, and that is gone.
I used to have beautiful penmanship. I don't need any more. It gets cramped, trying to write.
No, with texting, you have to send an emoji with it to let people know exactly what you
feel. And I wonder what all those things are.
I don't know either.
I guess some of them thinking, what is that?
Right.
Because some of them, they all look the same to me. I'm sorry, I have white hair, but they all look the same to me. Okay, Joseph, I understand a few of them, so thank you very much. Very funny. Joseph, how can you be more sensitive? Like women, talking to men now, guys.
Yeah.
How can men be more sensitive like women want us to be and not go to oversensitive that we're talking about tonight?
Boy.
Got an answer for that?
I don't have no answer.
I don't want you to be like me. Like,
oh, good.
That
she's
way.
Answering.
I don't want that. You know, we're created.
So how can guys be more sensitive?
Without being overly sensitive?
Yes.
Sometimes listening to.
That's it. My wife tells me that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
You know, she don't want me to be like her.
Well, I'll do that during the commercial.
No.
Right. Wayne. Yeah.
I mean, it's the fourth quarter.
Right.
Oh.
But it's just, she'll say, listen to me. And
I'm joking.
That to me, that shows me you value what I have to say.
Mm.
She says, because you hear me.
Right.
She says, you hear me. She said, but when you listen to me.
Okay, so what's the difference between hearing? I'm asking for you. What's the difference between hearing someone and listening?
Well, you do.
What I do is I clarify with Jill.
Yeah.
So when Jill says something to me and it tilts me, you know, well, I'm getting on the tilt, you know. So I go, honey. Is this what you meant? Can you clarify? Because she said something the other night, and I was like, I did that. Is this what you mean? Da 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 da. She's like, no, that's not what I mean. Then we need to talk more. So we had to clarify. I had to clarify because I hear a certain way, right?
Right.
That may not. She may not be speaking Dale's language at that point. Right?
Right.
Because Dale hears the way Dale hears. So sometimes Jill doesn't speak Dale. She speaks Jill. And when she speaks Jill, I've got to say, can I interpret Jill?
Jill, are you confusing me?
Yeah, so.
I'm confused right now.
You're confused right now. Right.
Dwayne,
so there's two different languages going on in my house sometimes. So I have to clarify. When I clarify, she knows.
Dale, I thought, is there an end to this? And then I'm thinking, I just kind of checked out for just a second there. So.
There's two different languages in a house.
Right.
Yeah, so you got to clarify.
Right. But Nicole will tell me. You know, if I'm not paying attention, if I'm not listening, because really when you said, how can I tell the difference between the two, or what is the difference? Well, a listening brings forth an action, you know, and I want to respond.
Okay. So you have daughters and son, and we have sons and a daughter.
Right.
Is there a difference in the way they hear? In other words, for example. I'm talking to my son. I'm trying to motivate him. The way I would motivate him versus the way Michelle would motivate him, the way my daughter would hear that same thing. Like, I know I say things differently to one boy than I do the other boy than I do her.
Yeah, different languages.
I can answer that because I learned something from my son, Alex, the other day, and he's watching. And it hit me because I'm thinking I need to speak to my son a certain way because he's a boy, he's grown up to be a man. I got to talk to him this way because that's just the way we do, right?
Yeah.
You know, caveman, But my daughters, I spend a little bit more time talking to them. Yeah. And so, and I said something to my son, Alex, and he got really emotional. We were in the van and he says, Dad, why do you always talk at me?
Mm-hmm.
oh my gosh. It says, you never talk to me. I mean, that's just bringing up emotions right now. Just thinking. And I thought, and here is my 14-year-old son who I'm thinking I'm teaching him the right word. I'm just, you know, it's a guy thing. Just tell me, I'm just going to tell you yes or no. But he was.
Because we fix things.
Right. And then I realized he's still a child. He's 14.
Well,
and he sees me with my reaction my son. Yeah,
I know your son.
Yeah, but he saw me react and talk to my daughters a certain way because I want them to have this certain kind of a man. That'll respect you and talk to you this way. But then I didn't realize I was doing my son the opposite. And he says, "Dad, why do you talk at me? You never talk to me." Oh my gosh! I mean, I had to repent. I repented. I was in the van. He caught me. The whole family's in there, and I had to say, son, I repent. And I looked back, and he had tears going down his face. Wow.
That's awesome.
And so
I'm glad he trusted you enough that he could confront you.
So it's really, you know, we can say husband, wife, son, daughter.
So now if you would have never addressed that, that has the potential to become a hypersensitive thing, doesn't it?
I was creating that hypersensitivity in him. When I didn't realize I was doing it, but now I'm setting him on a path.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
That he's always going to be hypersensitive to. And I still have to catch myself because, you know, you're talking about, you know, 50 years of doing it this way, you know? And, but it's something that I had to then, oh my goodness, it hit me and I had to look within. I had to correct it. Mm-hmm. I had to apologize.
So, you know? Dwayne, that's the difference, I think. And one of the greatest things that set me free is when I learned the difference between conviction of the Holy Spirit and condemnation. They're not the same thing.
No.
Condemnation is you're bad. You are worthless. It's your fault. Conviction is that's not who you are.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
You're this, and it will lift you up. It'll try to lift you up. This is not, that action is not who you are. Let's pull you up to where you're at. Right. Condemnation will say, you're bad.
Yeah.
In other words, like if I'm upset about something with my son and I say to him, you are not motivated whatsoever, instead of you are really motivated at this, but I'd like to direct it to this. Does that make sense?
No.
Did I pick a good thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Example of that. But that's the difference,
right?
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. You know, and then as believers, because you addressed a moment ago of Jesus and we as ministers and how to minister to people who are hypersensitive. But let's talk about the ones who are in the body of Christ, who we are still hypersensitive to certain things. And the Lord kept pressing the scripture on me and the Holy Spirit brought it to my remembrance. And it says in Romans 8:5, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh.
Okay, say that again. Let's hear that. Listen to this verse.
For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Mm. He goes, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Yeah. So we as a body, not just ministers, because we're all ministers,
right? Mm-hmm.
But we as a body need to identify this. Listen, we have some issues that still need to attend to. We need to attend to these things.
Yeah.
And so if we're saying, well, that's just the way I am, you're going to have to deal with it. Well, we're dealing with the flesh that we're not wanting to deal with.
That's true.
So, Dwayne, is that the answer? And I feel like I can ask you this because we have some questions concerning this tonight. And I'm not dodging your question. Is that the answer to some of the racial things and some of the other things that we're seeing?
Yes.
Is focusing on the flesh rather than the spirit?
Yes. Yes. Because I'm Hispanic, and so there's always multiple reasons why, you know, that I could connect myself with somebody else and create something that really is not really thought of by 80% of the people, you know, more.
Right.
But the next thing of that scripture, even for what you're asking me right now, when we think that way, to be carnally minded, the Bible says it's death. It's bringing forth death. And when we allow these sensitive issues, which really Jesus already dealt with it,
right?
But we are still amplifying it. It's bringing death and destruction when there shouldn't have been. When Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that you may have life.
Because Jesus dealt with racism.
He dealt
with it. The woman at the well is a classic example. You're Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Well, there it is.
You know, I saw somebody posted this on Facebook the other day, and it really ministered to me. It stunned me, Greg, when I saw it. And it said that Jesus dealt with the race issue when he hung on the cross and died for all.
Right.
It wasn't just a particular race. It was for all. And I keep thinking about Brother Copeland's song, you know, that when he was on the cross,
I was on his mind.
Yeah. You were on his mind. We weren't looking at the different colors. We were looking, he was looking at us.
Right.
That's so good. Okay, read this, that verse one more time. Where is it? And read that verse.
Sure. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can be dominated. You can be dominated by the flesh.
Right.
But the key is don't allow that to happen to you because you're not that same old person anymore.
No.
And that's what I like about our church.
All things are passed away.
Yeah. Everything. I look at our church and there was just all kinds of people in our church. But we don't look at, we just see we're all created in the image of God. And if you can look at that, like we were created in the image of God.
Yeah.
We were created by our Maker different. So you love people. You love people. I just love people.
Amen.
Brother Copeland helped me out in the last 2 weeks.
Awesome on this.
My father went home to heaven. Your mother just recently went. And one of the guys on our crew, his father went to heaven yesterday. And I told the people at the memorial service, he's not here. Right. That suit that's in there, this jacket's not alive. If I laid this jacket down, it couldn't move or do anything. Right. It only moves because it's covering me.
Mm-hmm.
And this skin, this flesh is not me.
Right.
And that's not you as well. And the real spirit is you.
Yeah.
And your spirit's not going to get hypersensitive.
Right.
Right?
That's correct.
Your soulish realm is what does that. This has been fascinating tonight, guys.
Very good.
What you said to the people about your husband, so good. And I thank you so much for that.
And you know, I loved him. I mean, I had to love him or I wouldn't have stayed all that time. But I loved him. And I knew his heart. I knew what was in his heart.
Yeah. And so you looked past that. You looked at the spirit.
I looked past the flesh.
And that's the way
and
you do it.
And saw the
that
heart.
That is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, final thoughts for tonight. We're all sensitive in one area or another, so we need to know how to allow God to not only show us those areas to work on, but then we have to do what he says to do to fix it. Be wise enough to accept wise counsel. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. And in today's texting world, we have to make an effort to communicate. That's what I'm taking away from all of this tonight.
That's the truth.
Stop and listen. Proving to others that they have value in your life.
That's the truth.
You may have to choose to be a peacemaker to those who are in your life who are sensitive. Don't allow strife. Don't give any place to the devil whatsoever. Guys, I want to thank you so much for making this a success. Thank you for making it a success and being with us as well. And we will see you back here on Sunday morning at Eagle Mountain Church. Know this, God loves you. We love you.
And
Jesus is Lord. We'll see you Sunday.
See you later.